day to hear Concert Billboard on the air or see it at the WUSB website at wusb.fm/CBB. It's a service of WUSB Stony Brook.
And at 5 minutes after 6 o'clock, time for the 6 o'clock program, Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Manuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined once again by Kyle.
Good evening.
How you doing over there, Kyle?
I'm okay.
No, you sound really terrible. What's up with your voice?
I'm having an allergic reaction to the way the station's being run.
Well, in fairness, well, we can talk about that, but in fairness, that's really not what happened to your voice.
Your voice... I actually am on America's Got Talent.
No, let's try and do an hour of telling the truth on the radio. I mean,
all right,
the truth doesn't always, it's not always pleasant. Sometimes it hurts, but sometimes we have to tell the truth.
All right, we went to a taping of a really awesome show last night in New York.
That is the truth.
Yeah, it was a television show. People might be familiar with it. It's called The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
If you listen to yesterday's Daily Show with Jon Stewart, you will hear Kyle screaming every time the applause light goes on, because, well, they told us to do that. They come out and they say, yeah, we want to hear how loudly you can scream.
There's
and
no...
You have to practice, you know, for a few times before anything even happens.
There's no applause light. It's just Arsenio Hall. He just shakes his fists and gets everybody riled up.
It wasn't Arsenio Hall.
All right. Well, whatever.
The point is that you got to get loud. You got to shout. You got to jump
TV.
Up and down.
Yeah.
And you really, I think you were the loudest one there because, well, I was next to you for one thing. And my ears are still ringing from that.
I enjoyed myself.
You did.
I did as good a job as I thought I could.
Well, I said it reminded me of the pillow fighting escapade in Quebec.
Yeah.
And for those that don't know what that means, it wasn't one of our pillow fights. No, it was a pillow fight competition amongst professionals. There are professional pillow fighting leagues. Look it up. We're not making this up. We don't have time to go over it and you know, recap everything that we do.
I lost my voice there, too, though. It's a similar situation. Mm-hmm. I think, I will point out, I think it's funny that sedate Americans watching The Daily Show need extra revelry from the in-studio audience because they're that unexcited by how crappy our country is.
It's basically the TV producers that say you set the tone in the audience by being loud and enthusiastic and applauding all the time.
As if
the people watching are dumb enough not to be able to find something funny on their own or to be able to applaud something on their own.
Or for that matter, the fact they have microphones and amplifiers and mixers, I'm sure they can make us louder. They had enough microphones in there. I don't know why we have to be extra loud. But anyway, it destroyed my voice.
It was a great show. It really
was.
Awesome.
It was cool.
Jon Stewart is amazing. He's an incredible guy who gets it and is funny at the same time. But you know, I have to say, and this has been my experience every time I've gone to a taped program in the United States,
yes.
The security is just unreal.
Awful.
And they really kind of talk down to you a lot.
Condescending.
Very condescending. They have tighter restrictions on phones and cameras than North Korea, and that is not a joke. Because in North Korea, I could take my phone, I could take pictures, and in The Daily Show, they say they will confiscate your phone and your camera if you even take it out, because they will assume that you have taken a picture if you take it out of your pocket. Then you know, what is the big deal, first of all, if you take a picture inside there? I mean, I would agree not to do it. If they ask me not to do it, I won't do it. But if someone did take a picture, wow, what is it, a secret? I mean, you do broadcast the set every single day.
Right.
So it's just do what we tell you to do or else. That's the mentality. And, you know, it's not like that will disrupt a television program. We went to another television program in Toronto, our neighbors to the north.
Yeah.
Our friend George Stramanopoulos.
George Stramanopoulos, the best late night interview talk show host in the world.
And when they repeat it in the afternoon, he's the best afternoon talk show host in the
world. Doesn't matter. Yeah. He's the best in the world. And let me tell you, the CBC, they don't care.
Well, but they're just intelligent.
They give you a little respect. Here, it's like Viacom basically slapping you around. And, you know, I don't know. Are they licensing the gaffer's tape and the curtains? There were black curtains there. I said it.
Uh-huh.
There were even shrouds on some of the scoop lights.
Uh-huh.
I think they're called scoop lights. But they had shrouds on them so that when the camera's facing the ceiling, the aerial camera, the one on the boom, when that one floats around, it doesn't see any of the inside of the scoop light. And then the two scoop, three, four, five scoop lights facing Jon Stewart don't get in the shot for the aerials. There, I just gave it up.
Wow.
Viacom's going to sue me now.
That could be who's calling on the phone right now. That is the green line, which is the one that's not supposed to ring.
Oh.
Wow. Okay. Well, Kyle, I didn't know you're gonna reveal all that information. And they specifically asked us not to tell anybody anything.
I didn't sign anything. I just read
by
the word
walking
release.
Through the door. You were signing. That's how it works now.
All right. Well,
and they did take a piece of your DNA so that they know exactly who was there when.
Well, I got a couple things I could release.
Well, okay. There. Before this spirals out of control,
scripts or something
too much. It was a good program, but
you have to
plan a day around this. You really do.
I'm exaggerating.
You have to get there. Yeah. Well, first we had to get there.
Yeah.
Well, no. Wait. Hold on a second. First, I had to get to the point where we could get two tickets to the thing, which is basically monitoring their website 24/7 until something opens up and jumping as fast as you can, filling out the form, and then you have to reconfirm. But that doesn't mean you're going to get in. You have to show up. They tell you to show up at 4 o'clock. If you don't show up at 1:30, you will not get a ticket. That's how it works. And right. They don't even... They give out the tickets at 2:30. So I don't know why they tell you to show up at 4.
Which is distinct from the CBC.
Mm-hmm.
Our other experience in a live show...
Yes.
...was totally different because... It was merely just checking the website, you know, you get an email, it was very straightforward. You go and you show up and line up with everybody, you get to walk around.
Well, hold on, we didn't have to line up, we lined up at the end, but in this particular case yesterday, we had to line up first to get the actual tickets. We had reservations, but we didn't get the tickets. You had to wait in line for at least an hour and a half to do that.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, then you came back at 4 o'clock.
Right.
And then you had to wait again.
Yes.
And I think we were only, like... 6 people away from the cutoff, too.
Yeah.
We got there early, but if we had gotten there just a little bit later, we wouldn't have gotten any tickets. But at the CBC, all we did was show up. There was a cop there. He wasn't there to search us, to interrogate us. He was there to help us.
No, we were trying to find out where do we go to stand, to wait, to go into the show. We only had to wait and show up once mm-hmm. at the appropriate time. It's very straightforward. You go in, you're a part of the show. You can go down. You can maybe even speak with some of the talent. Yeah. Yeah, I've shaken... George Strombonopoulos' hand.
I took a picture of him and you at the same time.
Oh, my God. You know what? You're right. There is a photo, a private photo, mind
uh-huh.
you, of me standing next to George Strombonopoulos.
I'll bet if I had asked, I could have sat in the red chair.
You probably could have.
Don't know what the red chair is. You need to watch that program.
Well,
actually,
I think you should wait till you're formally invited.
Okay, all right.
There's a good chance of that too.
You think?
I think.
All right.
You're worth it.
Well, thank you. He's definitely, as we say, one of the best interviewers around. And
best.
And you will actually in America get a chance to see him because he's coming to CNN. And I kind of have mixed feelings about this. He has a Friday night show now, so maybe America will discover him. But we've been watching this guy for years. And he really is. What? Don't want to hear it?
No, just stop ruining it for me. Why is he? No, it's
how
now everybody in their trailer park on their hover round.
Uh-huh.
They're going to be riding to get the Cheetos and get their ranch dip, and they're saying, "Oh, switch the monster trucks over. We got to get our George Strombo in."
Well, you know, you have a higher opinion of those people than I do because I don't think they're going to tune in. All right, you seem to think that everybody, you know, in an RV is going to be trying to watch George, and I don't think that's going to...
Let's put it this way. It could be a good thing, but I really think it could ruin it too. But there are some caveats. He's staying in CB. He's not actually going to be broadcasting from Atlanta. There are attributes of it that could bode well, but I'm skeptical because this was this thing that was very uniquely Canada. He's a national treasure up there, and for him to be... on CNN, I don't know. But CNN's doing cool things lately. There's a couple other shows that are sort of interesting, different things going on. So who knows? It's a crapshoot. And actually, I always wanted, and I think you agreed, that George Strombonopoulos would be interesting. It would be great to have him down in the States. And I think we even asked him that when we went and saw his show.
Well, he said that things are so tightly regulated here, religion-wise. He'd be afraid to do a show about religion because of the way people react and things like that.
Wait, he's thoughtful?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and intelligent?
That's a danger, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You gotta be careful.
Just the fact that he answered that with a reasonable answer... that's crazy. I don't think no, it's not going to work. It would never work. No.
I'm trying to find the website so people can actually see this themselves and not just take our word.
Strombo.com.
Strombo.com. You can see episodes of the
strombo.com.
Okay, I'm going there right now just to make sure that we're giving people the right. Yeah, there he is standing there.
And we're not trying to sell you anything. This is a show. You can watch everything for free.
Yeah.
That's his website. It's .com. Yeah.
It is. They speak Canadian, but I think most people here will be able to pick that up a little bit if they just are patient.
Or find an app for it.
And I'm pretty sure you can watch episodes on that website. I'm almost certain.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. It's all free. I mean, I think they had to start including commercials in some of the streams, but it's really, really good interviews. Pick any of the people he's talked to that are interesting to you, and you'll be blown away by just like how disarming and how personable he can be and like how he can really open up.
We saw the former the former prime minister's wife, I forget her name, Trudeau.
Yes,
Margaret Trudeau, right?
Yeah,
and the fact that I remember that tells me how much that interview meant to me because
basically,
rather than the kind of American interview where people make jokes and whoop it up and there's all this cheering, he really gets to the heart of things, talks about stuff like addiction and tragedies in people's lives and philosophy and international relations and things like that. A really good conversation, an actual conversation that has you riveted if you care about these things at all. And that was you wind up getting an impression of the person they're interviewing in a much much more thorough picture is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I find it so hilarious that we're talking about George Stramanopoulos because The Daily Show was that underwhelming. No, I mean,
The Daily Show was good though. I mean, I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed the show, and
it's good for fighting depression.
Jon Stewart hit the nail on the head. Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
There are fits, spurts, and glints.
Okay, I think we also have to address the other elephant in the room.
It is 900 degrees in here.
And it might as well be an elephant in the room, too, because if there was an elephant in this room, at least we could slice it open or something, and it would probably get cooler.
Can we look up the symptoms for heat stroke?
Please. We have a serious problem here. And I'm not kidding anymore. We complained in the past about the conditions here at the station, and it's gone beyond absurd. We're in the 90s inside. First of all, it's pleasant outside. It's nice. It's in the 70s. It's very nice.
It was really pleasant all day.
But for the last couple of months, we have been fighting the university to get this place some kind of air. It doesn't have to be air conditioning. Just air would be nice. And our equipment is failing left and right. We've probably lost tens of thousands of dollars worth of equipment because of the ineptitude around here. And I'm sorry if I sound pissed off, but I am pissed off, and I'm bordering on passing out because we're sweating. We're both sweating, and that's why I can't think of what I need to say next because how do you treat something an important place like this with such disrespect? I mean, this radio station filled with the most amazing people on the island and maybe even in the state as far as regular people go, too. It's a treasure. It really is. You got to take care of treasures. You don't neglect them, throw them on the curb and hope that they either go away or just get by on their own because, no, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Thank God they're destroying this building in another year or two, but they still haven't told us where we're going to go or if we're going to go anywhere. And what I'm afraid of is that this whole myth that nobody listens to radio anymore, especially college kids. College kids don't listen to radio. It's irrelevant to them. Load of nonsense. Load of garbage because they do. They do listen. They might listen in different ways.
Yeah.
But radio is something completely different than iTunes or than anything you find just on the net. Radio is a immediate. It's we're speaking to you right now. We're speaking to you from a very uncomfortable place, but at least we're speaking to you, and we're sharing. We're sharing a particular environment. All right, and when your environment is affected, as it was, say, with Sandy or with Irene or with the blizzard, we're here to talk about that, to take phone calls, to be your anchor, to be your sounding board. That is what radio is all about, and that is as relevant today as ever been. And I just fear that the people in charge don't get that. And, you know, I'm reading stories. Every day I read stories about a community radio station or a college radio station that has gone under. For instance, now we may think every single station around us has been taken over by NPR, National Public Radio.
A lot of them have.
Around here, every single one has. There are no more community radio stations left on Long Island. And I say community and campus because we are both. It's a very unique thing.
This is a fact. You can say this.
Let's go down the list. I'm wrong. There's Hofstra. Hofstra is still a college station. So they're 88.7, I believe. They're in Nassau County.
Sure.
And their signal's not that great. I think there's another one at 90.3 Nassau. It might be Nassau Community or Delphi is one of those.
We've established that.
But this is the only station in Suffolk that is not NPR, that is non-commercial and not religious. Basically, they're falling like things that fall. You see, I would get this reference if it wasn't 95 degrees in here.
Like gadflies.
Falling like gadflies?
What's a gadfly?
I don't even know what that means.
I'm not making sense either. They're wilting like
Well, you are sweating like I have not seen anyone sweat before. Wow, that is something. Is that water getting in your eyes? Just wipe your forehead, at least.
Sorry.
I'm trying to hit the microphone when you do it, though. I read a story recently. There's a station up in Ossining, New York. Ossining, you might know for such wonderful places as Sing Sing Prison. But they also had a community radio station called WDFH. All right. And they have just been acquired by classical radio station WQXR. So, NPR bought WQXR. or WNYC, which is part of NPR, bought WQXR, okay, and reduced its signal quality in New York City ridiculously. It was at 96.3, and you could get it all over the place. Now it's 105.9, and you can just get it in Manhattan. Huh. So now what they're doing is they're expanding to various places with other stations. So that's what I worry about. Every single station around us is NPR, yeah, but WQXR signal longer gets out here. So they could easily look at this place
as another target.
Absolutely.
They will assimilate like the Borg.
And what do you have? You have a station that no one listens to anymore because radio is irrelevant. That's not my words. Those are the words of people that don't know what they're talking about. They will say that.
No,
right?
But you're speaking
I'm quoting them. I'm not speaking into it. I'm quoting them. And they will say, oh, and their equipment is terrible. It's all falling apart. Because they piped the heat in June. That's why it's falling apart.
Right.
Then we got to go on the air and raise money. And the final insult is we have to pay them a percentage of what we raise. Yeah, we have to do that. I mean, it's insane. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be this bitter about it, but for God's sake, people. And we have rodents running around this place as well. This has been going on for years.
Squirrels taking over in the building. Somebody really needs to think about this. The students, the listeners, we got to get a handle on how we interface with the university, all these things.
Yeah, I would be sympathetic. I always have been sympathetic because this place does more for the university than any other organization as far as I'm concerned. If this university was falling apart and scrounging for money, I don't know what I would be doing any different than what I'm doing right now. But
we'd have a car wash.
I wouldn't be complaining quite as much, yeah. But the point is, there's money everywhere. If you're a sports team, wow, there's money all over the place to cut the grass and build statues and signs and stadiums.
And a hospital and 10 other hospitals.
Well, hospitals are important, but they're also moneymakers.
Well,
regardless, folks, radio is important. Support radio. And I don't mean just the listeners. Listeners support radio. They sure do. But the people who run the facilities have to support radio, too. This is insane. This is wrong. And if we pass out on the radio, this is not healthy. Somebody with an asthma condition, an elderly person, would not make it through an hour in this place. Yeah. And we have to have fans on. We just turned it off now. We're going to turn it back on because I feel like I might be one of those people can pass out. But you have a fan on, you can't hear the person because you have a fan on in a studio. It's not professional.
This drives me nuts, too, because you don't see this at commercial facilities. Like,
oh, you don't.
The Daily Show. Viacom seems to be able to take care of Jon Stewart.
Well, they do kind of pump a little money into that. But, it doesn't take that much.
There's not lights falling from the ceiling,
Well, that hasn't happened yet.
But that ceiling tile right above you, it's cracked. I mean, gosh.
It's a good thing nobody listens to radio because nobody will hear this and nobody will complain to us that we're being unfair. We're not being unfair, but please, folks, if you find yourself running a university or running a radio station somehow, take care of it. It's valuable. It matters. And the people there are priceless resources. We have some of the best people ever to walk through any studio door in this place. Professional radio people. I mean, that's a miracle in and of itself.
Who care about what they're talking about on the show? They care about the music and that they find. New music, good stuff.
Have
stuff
listeners.
You never hear.
Have so many listeners that that are loyal. We had a listener call last week who listened back when I did Voice of Long Island in the 1980s.
Yes!
And that was incredible to me, that there are people out there that loyal to this place. So, yeah, old listeners, new listeners, they're everywhere. We have kids calling from all over the world. People write to us. And this is just one program, 1 hour of the week. So radio is a valuable thing. And once it's gone, it's gone. Doesn't come back. Oh, yeah, you could have an internet radio station. I think that's where they might be pushing us. An internet-only radio station. You could do an internet-only radio station from anyone's house, anyone's room. I could have 5 internet radio stations in my own house.
From your iPhone.
It's not hard.
Have a pod station.
It can be hard if you program and have all kinds of guests and things like that and a program schedule. But most people don't do that, which is why it's so hard to find things
but
on internet radio. So much noise.
If you're riding in your old Studebaker, if you're in your Model T, can you tune the old radio and get us? Can you get new music from the local station in an old antique car or on an old AM radio or something? Old
I guarantee you,
equipment.
If they are driving around in an old Studebaker right now, they are in a much more comfortable place. No matter how old that car is, and I know it doesn't have air conditioning, with the windows closed, parked outside in a parking lot,
the point is
you are more comfortable than us.
You don't have to do firmware upgrades. You don't have to do, get the latest version of the app. You don't have DRM and walled gardens and all this crud.
Oh, yeah, DRM. That's not even... That's an arrow right there. Talking about the control they have over the things that you play, that's something that they are injecting into all electronic media.
How hard is it to block an IP? You can't block a transmitter. Yeah. You got to go there. You got to shut it off.
Well, we're doing a pretty good job here, actually, because things are getting to the stage where the heat is getting so high that equipment will fail, and that's the equivalent. But you got to go through all that to get the equipment to fail. Internet radio stations, yeah, you cut one connection and you cut everybody off. Absolutely.
One line of config file.
And that's what happens overseas when radio stations or social media are on the air. The radio stations tend to last a little bit longer. Social media, yeah, cut the wire and everybody loses access at the same time.
If there was a localized drone strike for this part of the island, we'd be able to talk about it.
If there was a localized drone strike for this part of the island, I dare say we'd be in better shape than we are right now.
Probably.
But that's just my opinion, which is sort of compromised by heat stroke. And on that subject, can I ask you to turn that fan on over there?
Oh, we're going
to
do it, huh?
I'm not kidding. I am sweating so much, and I'm feeling a little dizzy. And I don't want to be the first. I don't think I would be the first person to pass out on the air, but certainly the first time for me.
Let's find the on switch.
This any switch. It's got to be the on switch. I mean, how many switches does a fan have?
You want me to hold it like this?
Let's put it down on the table.
Oh, put it down.
Don't have to be all melodramatic about it. There we go. All right. Now, there go my papers. See, yeah, there's a number of reasons why fans in broadcasting studios don't work.
Is that okay?
How are you? Because I don't like the way you look. I don't mean that the way it sounded. I mean, I don't like... You look very uncomfortable.
Well, I wish I'd brought a cold towel, like a wet towel to have.
Yeah. Might as well.
No, I'm okay. I'm putting my feet up, though.
Okay, so now let's talk about something a little bit more fun than this.
Sure.
We went to John Stewart's show yesterday. That was fun. But we did something else, too.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we talked about this last week a little bit. And, I feel so much more chipper now that fan is on my face like that.
Can I just say this? Can I announce it?
Please do.
We rode bikes that were not ours.
Well, you gave it away.
No, New York.
This is what we got to do. We got to tell the story in ascending order as we started. It was in the middle of the night, Sunday night. And I said, hey, Kyle, why don't we get us? Well, you suggest getting a snack somewhere. Right?
Yes.
So local Ukrainian place we know. We said, okay, let's do this. Let's go get a day pass for these new city bikes, which is about, what, $10 or something per bike.
Yes.
That will allow us to ride bikes not only tonight, but tomorrow as well, Monday. And, well, we walked over to a nearby stand, and what happened?
Well, we couldn't get the screen to light up. And we were standing there, and I saw this truck, and I said, there's a city bike truck across the street, and there's four legs in the back of it.
Meaning two people.
Yeah.
Okay. And, yeah, that was something.
And we put two and two together, and you had leaned up against the kiosk as I was trying to get the screen to activate, and you opened the door, and the door was swinging wide open. We put two and two together. We figured, of course, the first city bike stand we approach is being repaired.
It's broken, yeah. And there were two people in the truck. And they had some massive battery or something they were replacing?
They had like five batteries, and they're trying to get these two wired up, ready to install, because something was wrong with this particular bike stand.
So, okay, you know what? It's our luck that we just happen to walk up to one that's not working.
Right out the gate.
They suggested wanting to go to the one that's one block away over on Avenue D, and we went all the way over to Avenue D and found it right there in the projects. It's right in the middle.
Oh, for show.
I put my credit card in the machine, and... entered all this information, agreed to all sorts of things, and then it said, we cannot help you now. Didn't give any reason whatsoever, just said, sorry, we can't help you now.
Computer says no.
Yeah, pretty much computer did say no, and I said something else, and I don't regret saying that. And then you tried your credit card, and that worked.
Yes.
That worked. And what'd you get? You got a couple of codes or something?
Yeah, but I would only later find out that you often get a receipt with the codes written down. So all of a sudden, we had to remember two codes.
It's not hard, because the codes can only have either...
I understand.
Was it 0, 1, or 2 in them?
1, 2, 3. No zeros.
Okay, I'm sorry. 1, 2, 3. They're five-digit codes, but they can only have 1s, 2s, and 3s. And there's a very limited number of codes that you can have with those three digits
in them.
It's as
easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pretty much, but the code would be 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, or something like that.
Yeah, five digits.
So you told me my code,
yes.
and you remembered your code.
Yes.
I looked at I didn't just take your word for it. I looked at it. And I went to a bike, and I entered that code. And guess what? It didn't work. The code did not. Your code, of course, worked. And that's when I realized, Okay, I'm cursed. I'm just going to be a victim of this thing all night long, apparently, because my credit card didn't work, the other machine didn't work, and now the code doesn't work.
That goes without saying.
So I was giving a little speech there about how unfair the whole thing was, gathering a little crowd of people. But then you decided to go back and get a replacement code for the code that didn't work.
Well, the crowd was breakdancing, but there was a crowd.
Okay.
Yeah, well, okay, so my card worked, or my code worked, but then we found out this other attribute of the bike stands.
Wait, is that when we found out that attribute?
Well, I got a replacement code for you, right?
Yeah.
Because you could do that. You can get a replacement code. What I think had happened was... No, that was a different... Okay, yeah, this is further in the story.
You got to tell the story in the right order.
There's several nuances to this.
So basically, we got the codes and we rode the bikes.
Yeah,
that actually happened.
Did we find any loose bikes on them?
You see, you keep giving it away, Kyle. You keep giving it away. It's the heat. I know, it's not you. It's the heat.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's twice now you've given away the story.
All right.
So we rode the bikes across a couple of avenues, and it was really pleasant.
Awesome.
It was good. I mean, riding... But, you know, here's...
That's what I meant.
Here's the thing. Riding without helmets, I wasn't too thrilled about, but, of course, we didn't have helmets on us. And I hope that maybe they could attach helmets to the front or something and make it so you have to fasten them back when you park the bike. I don't know. But people should ride with helmets. The city is not quite there yet as far as bike lanes. It would be nice if it were. It's great to ride in the city, but there are...
You really have to come up with a plan.
Yeah, there are treacherous...
Every leg.
Treacherous places.
Yeah, every leg of your journey.
And I'm afraid of all these people that are starting to ride bikes for the first time in the city without helmets on top of everything else.
Yeah.
So anyway, we made it to our destination. And of course, you parked your bike, no problem. I parked my bike, big problem, because it didn't take. I was pushing it in and pulling it out. It just wasn't fastening. And it was the only parking space left in that whole kiosk. So I'm giving another speech to another crowd of people about how ridiculous the system is. And I think you took my bike at that point and rode it someplace else and parked it in a different...
Yeah, I went further down. So I went down and I actually had problems locking it into one, but then tried a third now and was able to lock your bike up. So not only can you get... So a lot of the mechanisms on the different bike stands are having problems. The kiosks are having problems. That was our initial interaction with the locking of bikes. And that's a critical part of this thing because you can only rent for 30 minutes per leg of journey. If you are if you have the bike for any period longer than that, you are subject to a charge. And we actually think there's going to be a lot of these kinds of charges disputed because of the bike's not locking very well.
Now, you've given the story away three times.
I'm sorry.
Because we still haven't gotten to the point where we want to reveal what it was that we did. Before we do that, I have to turn on the other fan because that fan's just not doing it anymore. And I'm not sure how this one works. Is that it?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, no, you got it. Yeah, just...
All right. So now we have two fans going here. And are there any more? Because it's getting kind of loud. But
it's sort of like we're flying through outer space.
What's the temperature? So can you read the temperature in the thermostat? Assuming the thermostat even works, what are we down to?
I think it's 86 or 87.
We're down to 86. Okay. Yeah, well, that's low for this place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Electronic equipment loves heat. So we hung out at the Ukrainian place for a little while, and then we thought, okay, let's ride bikes back. Since we have a day pass, we can do this. And now how is that supposed to work?
Well, you dip your credit card again at the... nearest kiosk, and it gives you two more codes, and you enter those codes into each of however many bikes you're getting. You're allowed two bikes per credit card.
Okay.
So the maximum you get is for yourself and your friend and whatnot.
Yeah,
so
for a little while we were worried that you might have rented three bikes because of the code that went bad at first,
right.
But no, the maximum is two per credit card, which is probably
right.
A smart thing.
Right. So, we got two more codes, and I think it didn't work, and then I had to do it again, but that was because the receipt was caught, or was that the next...
Nothing worked. No, you tried to enter... You put your credit card in, and it just wasn't even acknowledging anything at all.
Oh, right, and it was saying, this
I don't think it even said that.
Can't be used now. It would just fail, or it would be communicating with something and not get there. It would give you the little like waiting menu.
Yeah, it just didn't respond.
There were several of these. I tried two or three times, and it didn't do anything. Finally, we had the gumption to call.
No. We took a long walk. We walked way to the west. We're walking further away than where we have to go back.
Right.
We're doing more walking now because of the bike program than anything. And so we're looking. And the other thing is, you got to find these things, too. They're in a lot of places, but if you don't know exactly where they are, you can be walking for quite a while. So we finally find another one, and you try to use your card there as well. And it fails again, but in a different way.
Yeah, and we think this was due to rain, but it was basically the kiosk failing again. It was in the waiting menu. Same thing, got a little further, but would not complete with codes.
Yeah,
so it was not associating properly.
How rain can enter into it. I mean, it's a credit card transaction. All it has to do is transmit something. There are all kinds of devices doing that at bus stops and various kiosks of other sorts. So I don't see how rain, I think it's just ineptitude of one sort or another.
Well, you think when they install it, they're going to do a bit of a signal test to make sure that it can reach some kind of tower if it is indeed wireless. I don't know exactly.
One would think that they would test these things out.
Sure.
In any event, that was kind of the final straw for us. And we said, okay, you know what? We're going to call.
That
now.
Was when we placed it.
Yeah, and that's, I use my cell phone. I have an 855 number. I've never called an 855 number before. It's another toll-free exchange or area code.
Nice.
So we called that and started speaking to a person. I handed the phone to you because it was your credit card.
Oh, he was so unhelpful.
He was very unhelpful. I don't even know if he worked for the company. And then, you know, I was basically, it was drizzling. I was just wandering around, and I decided to just play with all the parked bikes. And so I just started pulling on them. And before you know it, I pulled one, and it came out. And so I just rode casually back to where you were talking to the guy on the phone and said, hey, Kyle, look what I got. I had gotten a bike without doing anything just by pulling. And, well, you had a bit of a longer conversation with the guy. And
well, I mean, he was doing his most half-hearted help desk like thing, basically resulting in him suggesting, well, maybe you should try one of those a little further away or this or that. It didn't go anywhere.
Maybe you should try hanging up and talking
really
to somebody
useless.
Else.
And I was like, okay, well, maybe it's the rain. Maybe your screens are getting all wet or something. I don't know. And I just hung up and did something of the same thing you did.
Wait, we just kept checking, and before long, you found a bike, too, that was unlocked, and we rode two stolen bikes back to where we wanted to go, because that was the only way we could get a bike, was literally to steal them.
Yes.
Even though we had paid for them, we just pulled them out, and I realized what must have happened was the locking mechanism didn't work properly, or the person didn't put them in precisely the way that it's supposed to be put in, which is not clear at all.
Right.
And they were being charged for all that time as if the bike was never returned. So actually, we had done them a favor by riding the bike and returning it maybe someplace else but than they had intended to return it, but at least stopping the billing. But like you said at the very beginning of this whole saga, a lot of people are being charged.
Yes.
And some bikes still to this day have not been returned according to their system because it hasn't quite clamped in.
Yeah, but you have to push the bike all the way in. It goes amber. And then when it's green, you can step away.
Right.
But it's a bit of a triangle latch on the top of the fork. And that actually goes into the locking part. The wheel just goes into the slot sort of by virtue of getting close, so the slot is a path for the wheel to go in halfway, but it's really the little springy triangle metal thing on top of the thing that's actually the locking part. But anyway, all the bikes we rode weren't ours. The City Bike program itself is pretty cool.
It is cool. No, when it works, it's great. It was amazing riding around. We rode up to the Jon Stewart show, and every place we needed to go to had a bike stand near.
There's a lot of them.
It really, but here the problems are their system, not very good. And the roads of Manhattan, not very good either. So those things have to be addressed. And I really think they probably should have done a better job of making bike lanes before they introduced a program this massive, because I'm afraid of what might happen to some people that aren't as skilled as we were. And we were pretty skilled. We were signaling, being very cautious. Cars were amazing. Nobody honked at us. Nobody intimidated us. They kept their distance. And I think that has a lot to do with signaling as well.
Absolutely. If you communicate with drivers, you're definitely going to be a lot better off. But in the fact there was so much interest, too. We got stopped by a lot of people.
That's
just
right.
Want to know how it works, what is going on. And I, you know, just say the same thing. We're testing it out ourselves, just new to it and enjoying the system. And it is a neat concept to be able to ride a borrowed bike in the city, not worry about locking it up because it's your best bike ever or this or that. Mm-hmm. It really was a neat system. I even reported a bike that needed repair because it wasn't shifting quite so smoothly. They're geared, internally hubbed geared bicycles. So there's three gears, And mine was having some trouble. Also, the brakes were a little loose. There's a button on the lock that you can press, and I actually got it to go red, so no one else could use that until it had been repaired.
Of course, by pressing the button, you're just saying something's wrong with it, but you can't say what's wrong with it.
It's up to the mechanics
hopefully
to figure
they,
that
they
out.
Do a thorough check on it.
Yeah, well, I figure if there's a bike that's submitted for repair, it's a good thing to do if there's more than one issue with it. And that was why I pressed it, because the brakes and the shifting combination of that, I'm saying, this bike's probably not in the best shape, needs a little attention. But most of the bikes are in great shape. The brakes really, really good. The shifting, awesome. Seats, sometimes
you had
seats
one
get
bike
squashed.
Where the seat was flush with the frame.
Yeah, I actually had to get a new code for that one because it had been pushed so far down that you couldn't pull it up to adjust it. But all in all, it was really an enjoyable system to use, and I'm really happy to have been able to share that experience. It was pretty fun.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
I just can't believe all the things that happened to us trying to get that to work, and that we wound up hacking it unintentionally.
Yeah, but we learned a lot.
I must have gone to about a half dozen different stands. There was not one that I went to that I was not able to get a bike for free.
Which means there's probably going to be a lot of these charges, these bikes that were longer than 30 minutes, and I'm sure that a lot of people are going to dispute the $100 charges.
I hope they dispute it. I hope they don't have to pay that. But when I say I got a bike for free, I'm not a freeloader because we did pay for the bikes. We just couldn't get the bikes in other ways, or we decided to just try it that way instead.
We only took bikes when it was in the 24-hour period that we could have legitimately gotten bikes.
And a couple of times, we pulled bikes out and immediately locked them when we found unlocked ones. In front of astounded passersby, they were watching us do this, and there was one guy just had an open, his jaw was dropped open looking at what I was doing. Like, he had never seen anything like that in his life.
Someone even coached you and said, hey, you know, you're not to be doing that, or was trying
Some guy drove by in the car and said, hey, you got to pay for that. And then the next one I pulled out came out for nothing. So I don't know what he had to say about that. He was still driving. You want to take phone calls?
Please.
If the phones are working. Delay was giving us a little bit of trouble before. There is not one piece of equipment in the studio that's not affected by the heat. And the humans are definitely
priority
up
goes
among
to
there.
Firefighters.
Yeah. You know, a fire would cool
I'm
us
sorry.
Down. No, it's okay.
It's not an emergency. It's just hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot.
Okay. I turned up the wrong thing. That was user error there. But what I'm going to do now is go into delay with this amazing ID. I'm going to give out the phone number, too, which is 631-632-6901, and implore people to call us because, well, who knows how much longer we're going to be around for, because the human body can only take so much.
Hi, this is Nick Lowe, and you and me both are listening to WUSB, the most dangerous station in the nation.
And we're back. We're back. No, wait, you're not here yet.
Here?
Hang on.
Sorry.
We got to make sure that you're there. Yeah, you're there, Carl.
Okay.
Okay, 631-632-6901 is our telephone number.
You're looking a little flush.
Yeah, and you know, I'm having trouble hearing you because...
Did I move something?
No, this part of the board that's falling apart now because I have to hit it.
I wonder if anyone has fried an egg on that board.
You know, I could crack an egg on the board, and people would complain of the fact that there's an egg on the board, but the board wouldn't work any worse.
Yeah.
In fact, it might even there might be a cohesive type
gum
of
gum things up
thing.
A little.
Yeah, that might improve
wires in place.
But okay, the phone's not ringing. I don't know if that's because the phone's not working or because we've completely alienated everybody listening to us by talking about the things that we talk about.
Well, you're doing a great job.
Of alienating people. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for that. That's
fantastic.
That's all I ever try to do.
Kudos.
631-632-6901. The country code is 1. Sometimes you have to dial 1 anyway, even if you're inside the country, because that's just the way our numbering system is. And sometimes you have to dial 9 to get outside of a switchboard.
And sometimes and if you live in the country...
If you live in Suffolk County, you don't have to dial the 631. You just dial 632-6901.
And if you just like the country...
And if you're on campus, but of course college kids don't listen to radio, we're told, you just have to dial 26901. We make it so easy for everybody.
Yes.
Except ourselves.
Very easy.
Nobody's calling. I can't say I blame you, because it's by calling us, you'd probably get overheated too, and who wants to do that? I can hardly wait to get back outside, you know?
It is really nice.
It's nice. How do you get a room to be like this in the first place? It has air vents. That's the thing. There are air vents. Air conditioning can come into this room.
I don't even understand.
They choose not to send air conditioning. They choose to send heat.
I'm not convinced the equipment in here actually gets this hot, though.
Well, we have to turn a lot of it off,
well,
which
is
not good
off.
for some professional equipment. You're not supposed to.
I know.
We have a phone call.
Okay.
Let's take a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
I'm sorry, what?
You're on the radio.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
Okay, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from the Lake Ronkonkoma train station.
Oh, it's lovely down there this time of year, isn't it?
Yeah, beautiful day.
Uh-huh. It's not actually, not to correct you, but it's not the Lake Ronkonkoma train station, it's the Ronkonkoma train station.
That's right.
Okay, just want to make sure we present nothing but facts.
Yeah.
What's on your mind?
Dude, I just wanted to let you guys know that I've been listening for like the last 25 minutes, and I think you guys are hilarious. Like, I mean, I know that you're not trying to be hilarious, but I mean, the subject matter, that story was great. I loved the pause in the middle to turn on more fans. Like, I know you guys aren't having a great time out there, but I'm having a great time listening.
Well, thank God the show's only an hour long, and I know a lot of listeners will be nodding their heads in agreement on that, but for our health benefits, an hour is about as much as we can possibly take. But I'm glad you're enjoying it. It is 100% true, though. It's any humor is completely incidental.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't really have much to say. I just wanted to let you guys know that someone's listening.
Thanks. That makes a big difference. It always does to people doing radio to know the listeners out there.
Yeah. Also, I did want to add. I used to do a radio. What do you call it? Internet radio on when I was in college, and yeah, don't go to that. Like, no one listens to that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I must have done 50 shows, and I think I only ever got one caller because nobody's listening to internet.
Well, I mean, there is something to be said about over the air because, first of all, it's anonymous. When you listen to something online, it might not be the case now. We might live in a very nice place right now where nobody spies on anybody, but you can tell what you are connected to on the internet if you're being monitored. When you have a radio on, it's anonymous. You can listen to whatever you want to listen to, and as long as you keep it down, no one else need know.
Yeah.
All right, listen, thanks for your call.
Yeah, no problem, man. Have a good one.
All right, take care. 631-632-6901 is our... I can't hang up. Look at that. The hang-up button doesn't work. 631-632-6901. If you're out there, please give us a call and keep us sane, because who knows... How much? Yes, go ahead.
I like that. I think that would be a great t-shirt, right? No one listens to the internet.
Yeah. Although, you know, you internet listeners out there, we're not saying don't you call in because, well, I mean, you are listening to a radio station. You just got to keep that in mind. It is a radio station, not just a closet with a computer in it. I'm sorry, Kyle. Is that fan pointed to you or to me? It looks like it's pointed to you.
No, I wouldn't do that. No.
Are you sure?
You know me. I care.
I do know you.
I wouldn't
know. No.
We share it.
You have the fan
no,
between
that was
us.
An agreement.
All right. And now, how? I'm not really feeling anything on this side.
I wouldn't double cross you like that.
Well, I'm sorry. This is what happens when situations get dark.
No, it's
but,
mine.
Look, it's the fan. The fan has two sides to it. How do you know which side is the one pumping out the air? One side is sucking in air, right? I don't even know how it works. Why can't it blow in both directions?
I'm the air-sucking side.
All right, you know what?
And you're the air-blowing side.
I can't
side of
argue
the
with that, so that makes as much sense as anything I've heard today.
I'm losing it.
All right.
Get another call, quick.
I'm trying to get another call.
Save
yourself. Maybe you should get this call, because they're not responding to my microphone here. Remember the phone number?
Ladies and gentlemen, please... Call in.
Not working yet, Kyle.
Okay. The number is 631-632-WUSB.
Okay, well, those are letters. You just confused
everybody.
Okay.
631-632-6901.
Okay.
That's good. Okay.
Yeah, not the same numbers.
Please call. Okay.
Right.
This is why we have a community radio station here. This is a college radio station. I know that students are all over the place, but if you're listening, you don't have to be a student. You can call in. You can say whatever you want. We've been able to say whatever we want for this last hour here, and we enjoy that. It's when people call in and talk to us, that's
what you raised a good point there, yeah. Carl, because we did just lambaste the university and all its administrators, their families, even their pets, I believe, at one point.
Right.
And the entire State University of New York system, higher education in general, the list goes on and on. The fact is... We are doing that on a radio station, and it's something called freedom of speech, and freedom of the airwaves, and things like that. It does make for compelling radio. And we could say, yes, folks, this was just been a radio play, and that actually we're sitting in very comfortable air-conditioned studios in a high-rise building someplace. But no, it's unfortunately all quite true. But the fact is that we do have a voice, and we do like... A voice is only good if you use it, right? And, yeah, and you can use it for good or for bad, or for constructive purposes or destructive purposes. But that's where you come in. That's where listeners come in, and you can be a part of the whole process.
And if you've contributed to the station, you can share in this. You're helping contribute. You've contributed in the past. Maybe you've helped make this moment possible mm-hmm. for us to sit
well,
here.
Hopefully not
and
this moment.
Share our ideas, I mean, whatever our experiences.
They turned off the air conditioning. They made that moment possible. Maybe they're the ones responsible
well,
for it.
That goes back into the. The argument for the university. Okay, anyway,
we got a phone
I'll
call.
Finish.
Let's take this phone call. Yeah, good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Oh, you see, this button doesn't work. I'm sorry. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hi. I just wanted to call and say that I've never really listened to the radio much before, and I'm definitely going to listen to this show.
Because of all that complaining.
Yeah, it's hysterical, and I'm so sorry that you're in such discomfort. But it's great to listen to.
Well, you should feel sorry for Finn because he's coming in 5 minutes and he has a 2-hour show. So you might hear some radio history on that particular segment.
But, oh, I'm so glad I'm not there right now.
Yeah, but no, listeners, you can just have a Mai Tai or something and sit back and listen to us in the most comfortable setting in the world. And we will entertain you as we sink the ship or whatever happens next. But thanks for listening and being there.
We
no
do.
Problem. Thank you.
All right. This is what we need. Complaining radio.
Nice.
Wasn't it nice? Complaining radio, this is what sells, folks. And I hope you guys at Arbitron are listening to this because we can tell you how to market to an audience. You just got to bitch a little bit.
It is. In seriousness, it is really, really heartwarming to hear people get such a kick out of what we do. We enjoy doing this. We enjoy the university for all the resources, past, present, and future. And we also enjoy the freedom to speak our minds and let people know what is really going on,
yeah,
what's the pulse of this station, the school, this neighborhood, this region, this country. All that stuff is because of this station, because of the fun we have. And when we hear you call in and talk, it's great.
We enjoy it particularly because there's a crowd of people with pitchforks and torches outside waiting for us that we need to speak to, I think.
That's okay. I jammed the door a
little
bit.
Let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey there. It's Sleestack.
It's who?
Sleestack.
Oh, hey, you're a friend of ours.
Well, yeah, I hope so.
You're calling from far away.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, we're in, I'm in Oregon right now.
Very cool. No, you helped us, this is a guy who helped us carry all the calendars 2 years ago at DEF CON.
No kidding?
Yeah.
Awesome.
How you guys doing?
Good, very good. I just wanted to point out that actually listening to radio on the internet as well as via radio.
Uh-huh.
Cool. Both are really cool.
Yes. Yes. We're not putting down the technology for sure, but lots of the content if you can just turn on something and start doing radio is more complex than just playing music. You know, you have to have a lot of people involved. You have to have a lot of diversity and different programs and schedules and things like that. It's great to play around and figure it all out, but there's no substitute for a true radio station.
That's true. It has to be organized, and you do have to get people enrolled in what you're trying to say or put on or whatever.
Absolutely. And transmitting over IP is a great adjunct, but it really works in conjunction with the old-fashioned, and I put that in huge quotations, old-fashioned radio transmission technologies. They work great together, but I think it would not, and I know you probably agree that without one, it wouldn't be the same. And that's part of the magic, that we can reach out to somebody across the country who's listening, getting a kick, and bringing his insights in. That's unbelievable. And it works really well in conjunction with the FM station. So thanks a lot for calling. It's great to hear you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. One thing that's really cool about radio is that when you broadcast something, it's actually going out, you know, throughout the universe, too, which is kind of nice.
That is cool. Our radio signal is traveling out there somewhere at the speed of light, I suppose. So if the tape deck doesn't work, we can always somehow get a spaceship out there and grab a copy before it reaches Neptune.
Just in case you miss it.
Yeah, or get an alien or something. Well, yeah, that's technology of the future. Hey, good hearing from you, though. We got to get out of here, though, because our time is up.
Okay. All right.
So we'll see you at a conference sometime, I hope.
Sweet.
All right, take care. And let's get out of delay. Okay, we're out of delay now. We sound so much better out of delay.
Uh-huh.
I think Finn is here, but I'm not sure. But either way, we got to get out of here.
Well, we'll take more calls. We really enjoy it, people. Thanks for listening and sharing with us, and we'll be here again.
Thanks for your sympathy and all that. And, you know, we're going to be okay because we're going to step outside. It's going to be about 30 degrees cooler right away. And, of course, you can write to us, too, otw@2600.com. OTW stands for Off the Wall. It's Emmanuel Fucano. Have a good night.
Oh,